The Lord Jesus Christ gives what has been called the Bread of Life Discourse. It is a sermon that he preaches. In essence, he doesn't stand up behind a podium on a platform and give a sermon, but he is delivering truth. He is preaching truth to people that need to hear it, and it's been called by Bible students the Bread of Life Discourse. And it's just a long, ongoing description of himself as the bread of life. And he uses that illustration, bread, to describe many important things about himself. And I'm thankful for illustrations. They're good teaching tools. Because an illustration, we give one, we say, you know this thing that we understand? And this is a picture of a truth that we don't understand as well. There are similarities. If you can understand this illustration, you will understand what I'm talking about. An illustration physically is a picture. You see, you open book, picture books, and you can see a photograph, and I can try to describe a picture to you, and you might have a pretty good idea of it, but if you can see the picture, you'll have a much better idea of that picture. It's an illustration. If you can see the illustration, then you can understand the truth that it's illustrating, and bread does that today for us. And we're going to go through this passage of Scripture and see how Jesus Christ describes bread and then describes himself. And may the Lord speak to our hearts with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that gives us what we need to hear, gives us what we need to know, if we'll just believe it. And I pray that you would help us to believe it. Help us not to believe our own eyes and our own ears and our own judgment and our own feelings on life and God and ourselves and eternity. Help us to believe what the Word of God says. That is reliable. It is the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us to believe it. Help us to think according to truth, to think according to reality, not according to what is fake and what is fantasy. Help us to think real things and true things. And when we do, and when we believe those things, and we act according to those things, we will see that it is truth. We'll see the results, the blessings of it. I pray that you teach us. John chapter 6, we'll start at verse 22, and we've been in this chapter for a few weeks now, and we're going to spend at least one more week in it. But kind of crossing and recrossing the path and our steps, kind of looking at different things. This is a long chapter. It is 71 verses long, and there are so many truths and principles that are brought out, and we're not going to be able to cover all of them, but we are kind of going back and forth to look at different things. And we're going to start in verse 22. We know earlier in the chapter, Jesus fed the multitude with physical bread and physical fish, actual food that he fed them and filled their bellies with that food. And in verse 22, it says, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and then Jesus went not with his disciples in the boat, that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh to the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, and came to Capernaum, seeking for Christ, for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves, and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And we're going to be going back and forth through this text and looking at physical bread and how it pictures spiritual bread. And the first thing I want us to see is the bread of life will cost you something. The bread of life will cost you something. And we know that this is true when we make physical bread. If you've ever made physical bread, you know that there is time involved. There are ingredients that need to go into it. There is heat. There's an oven that's needed. And it all takes some time. You know that baking bread takes some work. And maybe you've struggled with that over the years at different times where the bread didn't turn out right. It fell, or it never rose to begin with, or it just didn't taste right, or you put in the wrong ingredients or something, it can become a frustrating process because it takes work. It's not an automatic thing It's not as easy as boiling water, for instance. I can handle that all right, but I don't know that I can make bread just offhand and make it turn out well. Sometimes people use a bread making machine, and you've probably seen those or used those at times. It simplifies the process, but we know that making bread, having a loaf of bread there on the table in front of you, there's a lot of parts that went into that finished product. We know that you first have to grow the grain, the wheat or the barley or the rye. We know that you have to harvest the grain when it's ripe, when it's ready. We drove by a farmer's field just over here, and he's beginning to harvest his grain from the field, and I like seeing that happen. I've been admiring that field of golden grain, the amber waves of grain, as the song says. But it's beautiful, but that's the beginning process. That's the first step in something like bread. You have to harvest the grain, and then you have to thresh and grind it. You got to thresh and separate the wheat or the barley from the chaff, and then you have to grind that grain and turn it into flour. And I was thinking about the children's story, The Little Red Hen. You'll probably remember that story. And she went through that whole process, and her friends, she asked them to help, and they didn't want to help, but there were many steps. Bread costs you something. It takes something. Of course, you know that you have to mix the water and the flour and other ingredients. You have to knead the dough and raise the dough. And then you have to bake the bread. And then finally, there's eating the bread. And in our culture, we sometimes forget about all the steps in that process because we can just go down to the store and buy the flour. We didn't have to plant the grain. We didn't have to prepare the ground. I didn't even mention that. We didn't have to prepare the ground. We didn't have to plant the grain. We didn't have to care for it and harvest it and thresh it and grind it. We just go buy a bag of flour and we can make bread today. But then you have a bread making machine, all these different steps that we can skip nowadays. But people back in the Lord's day and all through history, centuries of human history, they had to do every single step. Maybe they could buy and sell grain, but most people, most people have been subsistence farmers and have had to either barter or grow the grain themselves. Every step they had to complete in order to enjoy bread, and it was worth it. They did all those things because it was worth it to them. Humans, of course, are still growing grain. We are still making and eating bread. It's been a staple food for many, many centuries. Millennia, bread has done this. And physical bread costs you something. Spiritual bread, the bread of life, it will cost you something. And Jesus says this. He says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. These people had come across the Sea of Galilee trying to find Jesus. And he knew why. He knew why they were after him. Their question maybe would mislead us. Maybe we would think other things about them if the Lord hadn't put his finger on the issue. Rabbi, teacher. And that's what he was. He wasn't a chef. They didn't call him chef. He was a rabbi. When camest thou hither? That's what they called him. And he said, you're not here to be taught. You're laboring for food. You came here not because you saw the miracles, but because you didn't eat of the loaves and were filled. That's why you're here. And he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't go to all this work and trouble for food that you eat and then you're hungry again. Don't labor for that, he says, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. The bread of life will cost you something, just like physical bread does. The bread of life will cost you something. Don't make physical bread your focus. And of course, the Lord isn't saying, don't work at making food anymore. Don't eat food. That's too much work. That's not what he's saying. He's comparing. He's saying, don't make temporal things your focus. And so often people do this. They work hard at a career, and they go to school, and they earn a degree, and they go into the career field, and they work a job, and they lay aside for retirement. Everything is focused on the temporal. You can get a good paycheck, you lay aside retirement money, and then you can live it, and it's all temporal, 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 and they never labor for the bread of life. They never set their eyes and their focus on the meat that endures unto everlasting life. If you had to choose, it would be obvious, right? Which choice is better? Let's choose the one that goes to everlasting life, not the meat that perishes. But it will cost you something. Many people do not want to labor for spiritual bread. They don't want to seek after the Lord. They don't want to labor to know Him. And the Lord is not saying, do good works and work hard so that you can earn heaven. The Bible is very clear that that is not how sinners are saved. We do not go to heaven because we worked hard and did good things. But Jesus is showing a contrast here. Don't focus on temporal meat, on physical bread. Focus on the bread of life. We need to seek after Christ. It will cost us something. We need to be willing for it to do that. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. You understand, if you're going to school, you have to work hard at gaining that knowledge, learning those things. You apply your heart after it. And this verse says, do that with spiritual truth. Seek the Lord. Seek God's wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll see this encouragement, this injunction to seek after God's wisdom. Do you do this? Do you seek the Lord? In a week's time, do you apply your heart to seek after God? Do you labor to know Him, to know about Him, to learn about Him? Is that a focus of yours? The bread of life will cost you something. And if you are unwilling to pay that price, you will go without it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, that takes effort, that takes purpose, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly, and so on. An interesting contrast here. He says, if you will receive, if you will incline your ear, if you will apply your heart, cry after knowledge, lift us up thy voice for understanding, seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures. People do this, don't they? And I read an article recently. There is a man who, just for fun, because he enjoys the quest, he goes up into Canada in one of the national parks that are there, and he's searching for a lost gold mine. And it's on government property now, so even if he found it, he couldn't, mine the gold out of it. But he just wants to look for it. And many people have done that sort of thing. And he's dedicated much of his summer for years. I don't know what the rest of his life is like, if he has a family or what, I don't know anything about it, but he has dedicated days, weeks, months of his life over a period of years to look for this gold mine, and he thinks he's getting close and he's excited about it. That's fine, he can make those choices for himself, but my point is people seek after these things. They seek after silver. They search as for hid treasures. And people, he knows that it's going to cost him something. He's been paying that price in order to try to find this gold mine. Many others have paid their lives to try to find something like a lost gold mine. And there are all kinds of legends. I remember reading about, I think it's a lost Dutchman mine in California, the mountains of California. I might be getting some of those details wrong. But there are legends like that, or maybe buried treasure, pirate treasure, or sunken ships. And people have paid some kind of price to look for those things. And it's just temporal. They might find it, they might not. Even if they did find it, they might get it, have it stolen, or they might lose it. It's physical, it's temporal. How much better is it to give ourselves to wisdom? And notice the contrast here. If thou apply thine heart, seek and search, then shalt thou understand, and you'll find, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. So we ought to apply ourselves, but if we receive it from the Lord, it's still a gift from Him. We don't twist His arm, okay, fine, I'll give you wisdom, or we don't earn it. Boy, I've just got to give it to you, God says, because you've worked so hard at this. No, we're just showing that it's a priority with us. We're seeking after, we're asking for it, and it's a gift that He wants to give. That's the way it is with the bread of life. The Son of Man, as Jesus calls Himself, in the Gospels. He gives sinners the bread of life. It's a gift from God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, what you earn with your sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I deserve death. We deserve destruction. But we can receive as a gift eternal life from God. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is a gift. If you have eternal life, it wasn't because you earned it. It was because you received the gift of God. But we need to apply ourselves to it. We need to seek after it because it's a heart choice that we're making. God isn't just saying, well, whether you want it or not, here's eternal life. We need to seek Him. We need to desire Him. We need to give Him our life. And He will give us eternal life instead. How do we accept the bread of life? How does a person do this? It's a gift of God. What does the gift of God require of you and me? It requires us to repent of our sins. It requires surrender for us to do that. It requires willingness to be taught the truth. It requires humility to accept God's gift and courage to follow only Christ. A lot of people don't have that humility. They'd rather work their way to heaven. I've talked to so many people. Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. I don't know, but I'm working at it. I think God's going to think I'm a good person. Well, do you want to know? No, I'd rather not know. Well, why not? Because I think it would change how I work at it. I really want to work at this. I want to earn it. That's the heart condition. It takes humility to accept God's gift, and we are proud by nature. What will the bread of life bring to your existence? If you are without the bread of life, if you're without everlasting life, what will it bring? Well, it's pretty self-evident. It will bring eternal life. Is that worth the sacrifice? It will cost you something. Think about what it would bring. Is it worth it? Secondly, I want us to see that the bread of life is available to you. Look back at John chapter 6. It will cost us something. I'm thankful that it's available to us. And this is what physical bread is as well. It's very available in our world. John 6:28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You want to do the works of God? You want to please God? Then just believe on who God sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Nearly every culture in human history has eaten bread. It's a nearly universal staple food. From Encyclopedia Britannica online, Britannica.com, says this, bread, baked food product, it's just defining what bread is, made of flour, a meal that is moistened, kneaded, and sometimes fermented, a major food since prehistoric times. It has been made in various forms using a variety of ingredients and methods throughout the world. Everybody knows what bread is. It's been around, and people have eaten it. Not every single person ever to live, I'm sure, has had bread, but it's a universal food, it's a worldwide food, and it still is. It's very common, very widely eaten, even though in our modern technology, especially our culture, where we're very blessed, we have a lot of food options. People can eat anything they want. A lot of people still eat bread, at least some of the time. Bread is a favorite food, and it's very available for us. We still choose to eat it, and spiritual bread is very available. I'm so thankful that God makes the bread of life available to all. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus refers to this manna. They referred to it first in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And you look in the Old Testament and you see seed. God sent manna from the skies, from heaven, every morning for them to gather up and grind and turn into bread. Everyone had enough. It was outside their tents. Everybody could go out of their tents and pick it up. Everybody had a chance. It was available to all. And the bread of life is available to all. They only had to step out and pick it up. And everyone is capable today, as they've always been, capable of partaking of the bread of life. You don't have to have special talents to have the bread of life. You don't have to have advanced skills or elevated intelligence to be able to partake of the bread of life. You don't have to have unusual opportunity. You've just got to be the cream of the crop to enjoy it. No, anybody and everybody. All you have to have is faith to believe God's word. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, if you or I were God, we'd say, well, I only want the best of the best. I only want the most talented, the most good-looking, the most witty, the most whatever. God says, anyone, everyone may come. It's available. Whosoever, John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be part of the whosoever. That's your choice. You can reject the bread of life, but the Lord wants you to accept it because it's available to all. John 11, 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John 12, 46, I am come a light of the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John 1, 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The bread of life is available. Anyone may have it. Everyone may have it. It's God's desire that everyone have it. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful you don't have to qualify. You just have to accept it. Romans 1:20 talks about this even further, for the invisible things of him, of God, the invisible things, the things that are intangible from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm thankful that God gave us a conscience, and we can warp it and twist it and sear it. I'm thankful that God put evidences of himself into his creation, and we can deny those things. We can reject that, but he's giving us opportunity after opportunity and truth after truth to know him. Everyone may believe. Bread is not very hard to come by in our world. It's a very common food, and as such, it's a good picture of Christ. He is also accessible and universal in that sense. He's available to all. Have you believed on him? He's available to you. But you can reject him. That's a choice that you're able to make. But I pray that you believe on him. What are you waiting for? Why, if you haven't received the bread of life, if you haven't repented of your sins, turn your back on your sinful life and give your life to the Lord. Trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. If you haven't done that, what are you waiting for? The bread of life is extended to you. Now, today, God wants to save you. He wants to make you his child. He's holding out salvation. Will you receive it? It's the gift of God. I'm thankful that the availability of the bread of life shows us how available God is. He's always available. He's always there. He's always accessible. He's not some far-off deity that has his, you know, these are my visiting hours and the rest is my time. You have to fit into this slot. Sorry, I'm taken. You got to wait. No, he's always accessible. He's always available. The bread of life is available to you. Thirdly, let's, John 6, 34, let's read that. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I will meet these needs. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which ye have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He's describing himself here. He says, I am the bread of life. You're asking about physical bread. You don't even really understand what you're asking. The bread of God is coming down from heaven. Well, give us this bread. I am the bread of life. I'm the one God sent down from heaven. I'm the one you need to believe. I want us to see that the bread of life will satisfy you. And that's what Jesus describes here. We know that physical bread, we know it contains carbohydrates. And carbs help you feel full. They help fill you up. Bread is high in calories as well. It can give you a lot of energy for a longer period of time. Vegetables, many vegetables don't give you some of those same things. They're good for other reasons. But bread is good for that. It helps you feel full, gives you energy that lasts, and it contains these things. And we know that it satisfies our hunger in that way. It's good for a sandwich, and you feel full after eating a sandwich. Bread does this. Spiritual bread meets the needs. It satisfies us. Not our belly. It satisfies our soul. How much better? What kind of desires do you have in your soul today? I think if we're thinking, if we're aware, we'll acknowledge, I've got this desire in my soul. I just a deep desire. Nothing can reach that. Oh, I touch it. Nothing can meet that. I go around with this ache. I go around with this hunger. Christ can fill that. He can satisfy it. Only Christ can satisfy that. People are constantly looking to temporal things, physical things, to fill their spiritual voids. And it'll never happen. Money will never fill the need in your soul. Relationships with other people will never fill the need in your soul. Pleasures will never fill that need in your soul. Only Christ will satisfy that need and that desire of your soul. He says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Not only does it physical bread only satisfies you for a time, and then you're hungry again. Christ satisfies you forever. What a blessing. It's true. Do you believe it? If you don't, you won't experience that satisfaction. John 14, let's turn over there. John chapter 14, look at verse 13. What desires do you have in your soul? What needs do you have? The Lord can meet those needs. He can fill and satisfy those things. John 14, verse 13, Jesus says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask, if the Lord does it and it will bring him glory, if the thing you're asking for will bring God glory, he will do it. What a blessing. Jesus said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a lot there. There is a lot of power there. There is a lot of promise there. What do you need from the Lord today? In your soul. What spiritual needs do you have? God can answer those. He can meet those. The bread of life will satisfy the desires of your soul. He will also give you purpose and grace to live for him. Purpose of your life. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. People are always looking for purpose in life. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What can I do that will bring fulfillment? And they look for these different efforts and things to pour themselves into, and they might find some decent avenues for that. They might just turn it inward and try to please themselves, but that doesn't satisfy. Christ gives us purpose. Look at Romans chapter 5. Turn over there. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Romans chapter 5. Do you want purpose from God? Purpose that will really satisfy you, that will give your life meaning, that no matter when you die or how long you live, you know that your life is counting for something? That is such a blessing, and we can maybe talk ourselves into thinking that that's what's happening, but so often it seems like people live for themselves, and they spend their whole physical life, which is a great gift. Our life on this earth is a wonderful gift, but they spend it doing pointless or temporary things. It's amazing how many distractions this world has, and there are video games, for instance. There are, I mean, so many things that we could talk about. But something digital, it's fake, it's not real, and they will take your money so that you can give your time to those fake things. And you pour in time, and you pour in energy, and you pour in money, and what do you get out of it? Just whatever enjoyment you had in the moment, and it's all gone. It's empty. Christ says, give me your time. Give me your life, give me your mind, and I will make eternal rewards from it. I will give you eternal results. There will be souls in heaven that I will save and take there because you gave me your life, because you gave me the vessel of your life and allowed me to fill it. That's reward. That's purpose. All this world can offer is temporal and temporary things. God offers eternal things. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord will give you purpose. He'll also give you grace to overcome the faults and the failures that you have, to overcome your sin. I'm so thankful. It even happened today where after I had done and said some things, I looked back and I said, Lord, I should have done that differently. Please help me to do that differently. Next time. I shouldn't have had that approach. I shouldn't have had that heart condition. And the Lord gives grace for that. The Lord gives forgiveness. And we'll come to Him and we'll humble ourselves and say, Lord, I messed up. I tried to do what's right, or maybe I didn't. Maybe I chose to do what's wrong. I knew it was wrong. And I chose it anyway. The Lord gives grace. He gives forgiveness. He gives restoration. He meets the needs of our soul. Purpose. This is what comes with the bread of life. Have you tasted this? Satisfies you to the depths of your soul. It doesn't leave you empty. Look at 1 John chapter 5. You've probably had food that you eat and then you wonder if you ate anything afterward. It was cotton candy to be like that. You eat it and it doesn't do anything. It's just a taste in your mouth. It's so empty. And it does taste good, but it's not nutritious. It doesn't fill you up. Compared with, you know, healthy bread, for instance, since we're talking about bread, or there are other things you can eat too, where you eat it and it feels like it just satisfies you. You know what I'm talking about? That's a good feeling. You eat it and you say, that was a good meal. It didn't just taste good. It feels good. My body feels stronger. I feel satisfied. And it stays with you. Spiritually speaking, people are clamoring for the cotton candy. That leaves them more empty than they were. And so they want more of it. And it never satisfies. It never meets their real needs. The bread of life will meet your real needs. 1 John 5:11, this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. Who is us? Well, John is writing to believers. And I can speak to believers right here. If you're a believer, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, we can say us. You and me, God hath given to us eternal life. How? This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There is no other way to have life. You have to have the Son of God. When He's the bread of life, when did you receive Him? When did you partake? When were you saved? Verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He is the bread of life. When did you receive him? When did you receive the gift of God? Eternal life through Christ. If you've never done that, you do not have life. You are still empty. What desires are you seeking to meet for yourself? What needs do you have? Have you ever found a permanent satisfaction that reaches down to your soul? And without Christ, I already know the answer. There is no permanent satisfaction down to the soul. Only Christ can provide that. And we look at the world, and I hope you can see this as well. We look out in the world, and you're reading headlines, and I see a lot of dissatisfied people out there. People that are continuing to fight and claw and grab and pile for themselves. They're dissatisfied. They're angry. They're frustrated. They're anxious. They're proud. They are dissatisfied out there. So why do we think that the world has what we need? It's full of dissatisfied people. It's full of people who are empty. The world can't satisfy you. It never could. It never will. Only Christ can. He is the bread of life. Look back at John chapter 6. And the Lord gets deeper and deeper into this illustration in different ways. The bread of life will cost you something. The bread of life is available to you. The bread of life will satisfy you. Let's look at verse 41 of John 6. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'? We know his parents. He didn't come down from heaven. He was born to Mary." Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." I want us to see the bread of life is for the hungry. The bread of life is for the hungry. We know that physical bread, we're excited to eat bread because we're hungry, or food in general. It's a sign of prosperity and affluence when people are able to eat simply because they are bored. And we know that eating disorders can start that way. I'm bored, I want something to do, let me eat. It's a blessing that food is that available. There are many people in the world that would love to have food that is that available that they could even eat when they are bored, or eat for entertainment or some other reason. Usually, throughout human history, people eat because they're hungry. Seems pretty obvious, and it should be this way. We eat because we're hungry, and we stop eating when we're no longer hungry. Hunger draws us to food. Hunger heightens urgency and appetite, enjoyment, and more. And they say don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry, because everything looks good. Everything looks like something you need to buy. And it's amazing how when you are so hungry, a simple meal, something you threw together just to get something in your belly, it tastes really good. And when you're full, the best prepared meal is almost disgusting because you're not hungry anymore. You can't enjoy it anymore. We eat because we should eat because we're hungry. And when we are hungry, it's urgent. We have greater appetite. We enjoy it more. Bread tastes very good when somebody is hungry. And the bread of life is for the hungry. No one repents and believes on Christ because it's pleasant to the flesh. It's just fun, you know? I like to repent of my sins. It's just so fun. That's not why people come to Christ. People don't come to Christ because they're bored and they're looking for something to entertain themselves. They only come when they are hungry for God, when they're hungry for freedom from sin, when they're hungry for deliverance from wrath. That's why people come to God, come to Christ. Sinners do not naturally crave Christ. They come because they respond when God the Father draws them and shows them their need. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, invite, persuade, coax, that sort of thing." But I'm thankful that John 12:30 is in the Bible. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. God draws people to the Savior. And Christ, when he was lifted up, he draws all men unto him. So God is drawing all men to him. When Jesus died, we know this is what happened. Look at Mark chapter 10, Mark 10:46. "But people will only accept the gift of God if they are hungry for it. People will only choose to come to God." They're being invited. They're being drawn. The gift of God is extended to all, but people only take of it when they are hungry. Are you hungry today? Do you want it? Is this your desire? Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We see this hunger, this urgency in the heart of this man named Bartimaeus. "And when they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" He was urgent about this. He was crying out, don't walk by me. Don't ignore me. Don't overlook me. I'm here. I need you. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Be quiet. Stop saying that. Quiet down. "But he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' I don't care what people are saying. I don't care that I'm an annoyance to them. I have an urgent need, and only Christ can meet it." He cried the more, "God, thou Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." This is the kind of hunger that we need. This is the kind of urgency. This was important to him. "I don't want to be blind anymore. I don't want to go on like this." That was his heart. And I think if you or I were blind and we knew that the Son of God who could heal us of that was walking by, we'd be pretty urgent about it too. You know what? He could have been thinking, I'll put up with a little bit of embarrassment. I'll yell. I'll draw attention to myself in the moment. It's okay. There's a crowd around Christ. I don't care. I don't want to be blind anymore. That's more important. Are you hungry for Christ? Yeah, well, you know, what do my friends say? Are you willing to go to hell for your friends? Well, you know, my family might not like it. Are you willing to go to hell for your family? Or are you urgent about this? Do you have hunger to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation? This is an urgent thing. And the Lord is, God is drawing people unto him. Whosoever, believe it, may have eternal life. You can come. It's accessible. But you have to be hungry. You have to want it. Yeah, well, I'm too busy right now. Are you willing to go to hell because you couldn't set the time aside for Christ? What does your response to Christ, even right now? I don't know what's going on in your heart. But if you hear the words that I'm saying and God's speaking to you and he says, this is about you, what are you going to do? Are you hungry? How are you responding to that? What does that response tell you? Are you urgent about meeting him and knowing him? Are you willing to set aside other priorities in order to see Christ? Your hunger for Christ and truth is shown by how you respond when it is offered to you. Here it is. The Lord says, this is the truth. Here is eternal life. It's a gift. You can have it. And maybe later. I'll think about it. I've got other plans right now, but I'll keep you in mind. We can have all kinds of responses. But if you're truly hungry, nothing is as important as partaking of the bread of life. Lastly, I want us to see the bread of life is superior. Look at John 6 again. We've been comparing physical bread to spiritual bread because it's an illustration, it's a picture. But they're not the same, they're not equal. That is very obvious. Physical bread, I'm thankful for it. I enjoy it. But it is not on the same level with spiritual bread, with the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread of life is superior to everything else. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And he didn't say these words that I'm about to say, but I think, I wonder if this was maybe in his mind or in the minds of others. I don't know how much I can emphasize this to you. I don't know how else to say it. I am the bread of life. This is really important. You need to grasp this. You need to believe this. You need everlasting life. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. He'd already said it, I am the bread of life. He's saying it again. This is really important. I'm emphasizing this to you. Verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That manna could not keep them alive forever. It didn't provide everlasting life. That is temporal. That is physical. That is inferior. The bread of life is superior. It is the best. It is the greatest. It is everlasting life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, any man, anyone, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And now they're getting sidetracked, they're getting distracted by the words that he said, but we're seeing their heart condition through it. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And they didn't want to hear that. They didn't say, can you explain this? I want to believe it, but I don't understand. I know you're speaking truth, but explain it to me. They murmured against him. They spoke against him. And in verse 63, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm not telling you to physically drink my blood and physically eat my flesh. I'm not teaching cannibalism here. I'm saying I am the bread of life. Obviously, he was not a walking loaf of bread. These are figurative, spiritual things. It's not a temporal, physical statement he's making. It's a spiritual one. The bread of life is superior. He is superior to anything in this world. He is superior to all other faiths. John 6:47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. This world is full of other religions. And they all say you've got to do this, and you've got to work at this, and you've got to have this, and give this. And maybe if you do it faithfully enough and long enough, you'll get to heaven. And then other people say, well, there are so many, which one is right? I think I'll take bits and pieces from all of them and make my own religion. And so I'll do all these things and hope that it's enough. None of those will give everlasting life. Only Christ does. He is superior to all other faiths. He is superior to anything in this world. He makes us like him. He is life, and he gives to us from his life. We know the statement, you are what you eat. If you partake of the bread of life, you will have that life. You will become like him. He will be in me and I in him, Jesus said. He is able to cleanse and satisfy the soul. Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. It is satisfying to be in Christ. John the Baptist described Christ as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. What kind of guilt do you carry around with you? What kind of regret? I'm sorry. You can't change the past, but the Lord can take away your guilt. Christ can take away your just a few of the things that he does. He's the bread of life. He's superior to everything else. He'll meet the needs of your soul. Don't be like the Pharisees, who held on to their false religion and self-righteousness instead of receiving eternal life from the bread of life. Don't be like the rich young ruler, who held on to his temporal riches instead of following the Savior, the King of Kings. Don't be like Judas Iscariot, who held on to his unbelief instead of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he had helped and watched and followed for 3 years. Don't be like those people. People have all kinds of reasons for rejecting Christ. But what can those things do for you after you die? Things you enjoy to do, enjoy doing now, your temporal pleasures and affections, what can they do for you after you die? Nothing. What can Christ do for you after you die? He is superior. He's the bread of life. Whatever your soul needs are today, Christ can meet them. Receive the bread of life. Take hold of it. Partake of it. Receive God's gift today. And you will find how to fill your soul and give you purpose and meet all the needs in your heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you make yourself